We continue the shiur in Gemara.
We have to review the last statement of the last shiur, because the last statement is a topic in itself. The last shiur consisted of the fact that in the Torah there are 613 mitzvahs, 613 consisting of 248 mitzvahs asay, positive mitzvahs, do's, 365 negative don'ts. These correspond to the organs of a person's body. We do, which means the organs which take action in carrying out mitzvahs. There are exactly 248 organs. And of course, each organ has a corresponding organ of the neshama, the soul. In each organ, there is exactly the same amount of soul in it to give life to this organ. The Zohar Kodesh says, when a person passes away, there is necessarily an exit made by 248 parts of the soul. In fact, the Zohar Kodesh puts it in a very pathetic sort of form, very sad, a sad story, a sad tale of the parting, because the soul is leaving, going back to where it belongs up in heaven. The body remains below, and they sort of have become attached to each other. There's a close friendship if the soul enjoyed the stay in the body, which means, Benazel says, that the body and soul are like horse and rider. If the soul is the rider, everything works out perfectly. The horse carries the rider, who has more sense and knows where to go. If the horse insists upon riding on top of the person, you can imagine that there is no progress made. The body is supposed to be the horse. So in the first story, there's a Purim Maaseh, you have that. Body is supposed to be the horse to carry the soul around to wherever the soul wants to go. The body should be subservient. It should serve the wishes of the soul. If it does, the body becomes purified to an extent that the body of this person, like the body of a tzaddik, becomes a spiritual entity, like the soul. And therefore, as we said, when the time comes for the soul to leave, there are deep regrets. There is a sad farewell when the soul must bid farewell, must part with the 248 parts of the body. Zohar Kodesh describes how each part of the soul bids farewell to the corresponding part of the body, slowly moves out of that part of the body until the last organ, the last part, is when the soul completely departs from the body. Then, of course, the body is lifeless. Only, naturally, in the case of a Jew, the Zohar Kodesh says, the soul does leave behind a slight kista de chayusa, which means a small degree of spirit, of soul, that remains in the body even after death. This is why the fact is that after death the body can still retain its power of hearing. Every word that is said at a funeral, for example, the body hears, and everything that happens to the body physically, the body feels. It loses its power of sight or speech. That's why you cannot hear the body cry out if there is any pain afflicted on it. But the sense of feeling remains within the body because of this small degree of soul that remains there. Sense of hearing and feel. So, this is why the number of mitzvahs in the Torah, positive mitzvahs, are 248, corresponding to the number of organs in the body, which are the action part of the body. The ones that carry out these mitzvahs. 365 negative mitzvahs, corresponding to the days of the year, corresponding to also the bloodstream system, the tendons, the arteries of the body. Now, also, we find that in order to strengthen the soul, the neshama, in these 248 parts of the body, we have the most important, the holiest prayer that exists, that's the Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael until MS, which has 248 words in it. Here too, if a person says these words with kavana, and he can actually give strength or health to all parts of the body and soul. If a person sees that he has said Kriya Shema, full, firm Kavana, where he has thought of and stressed the meaning of each word as he read it, did not miss one single word, and somehow he is still sick, how come he was not cured? It's because, factually, he has still remained, he has still done something to help the health of the soul, which is more important than the body. So at times, it is the soul that is assisted, at times it's the body. At times, it is both. And therefore, it is advisable for a person to always say Kriya Shema with Kavana more than any other prayer. It is the most important tefillah we have. Now, as we said further, that these 613 mitzvahs are mitzvahs that must be obeyed. The Ri HaKadosh says that a person must fulfill all 613 of them. If he fails to fulfill any one of those, even if he is pure, he is not complete. He cannot remain away from this planet Earth, away from his physical life forever afterwards, because his soul is not complete. Again, the soul has 613 parts. This soul must be perfected through the carrying out of these 613 mitzvahs. So if a person failed to comply with the 613 mitzvahs, he must come back again as a Gilgal, reincarnated, to supplement the mitzvahs which he failed to carry out in the past Gilgal. This can happen many times over. A person can come back again and again until he has completed those mitzvahs which he is lacking. This is a separate topic in itself, but we see that the requirement for a Jew is to carry out all 613 mitzvahs. This we had, the Gemara said, continue with the statement that David HaMelech condensed this as main mitzvahs. He brought it down to 11, and later prophets brought it down to less, until we came to the final word where the prophet Habakkuk came and said, I can put all 613 mitzvahs into one single capsule. The words of Habakkuk Hanavi are V'tzadik Be'emunasa Yichye. The mitzvah of Emunah is one that contains all 613. This requires explanation, elaboration. We'll understand this if we know the background of this Navi. Habakkuk Hanavi, strange name. You don't find anybody called Habakkuk today. How did that name originate? Why was he called Habakkuk? One of the regular prophets in the Torah. Who was Habakkuk Hanavi? The Zohar Kodesh says the story of Elisha Hanavi. Elisha Hanavi was a student of Eliyahu Hanavi. And you recall that Elisha Hanavi received a blessing from Eliyahu Hanavi that he would have twice his power, meaning he would bring back to life. He'd also bring back to life a person who passed away. In his case, he came to the home of a woman who was very hospitable. He wanted to repay her hospitality. She had no children, she was childless. So he blessed her that she would give birth to a son. The son was born, and shortly afterwards, this son passed away. She was very bitter about it, and Elisha Hanavi decided that time had come to use this blessing that he had from Eliyahu Hanavi, this power of Tchias HaMesim, to bring this child back to life. The Midrash says something very vitally important. We mentioned this previously, it pays to repeat. Elisha Hanavi was a human being. Elisha Hanavi had parents. He had a mother and a father, and surely he knew the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. How important is that mitzvah to respect parents? Now imagine then an amazing thought that if he knew the importance of that mitzvah, and if he was endowed with the power of Tchias HaMesim to bring a dead person back to life, if he had that one power, why wouldn't he use that power to bring back his father to life rather than the child of a strange woman? Imagine if one has that power, he'd select carefully the one person who's closest to him, most important to him, and to utilize that power for the sake of that one person. The answer is, Midrash says that we can never really understand fully the extent of the mitzvah of achnasas orchim, hospitality. For one, the mitzvah on the part of the host, person who was zechut to perform this mitzvah, like Abraham Avinu, whose home was open for guests always, who was known as the Isha Chesed because of this mitzvah, and then two, the extent of the guest himself, how much respect and how much appreciation he should show to his host. A number of items have spoken about this. Zayin HaKadosh, the Rambam, quote on the Akhtam Sachuva, about the importance of showing one's appreciation. To what extent must he show appreciation, the Midrash says, we see from the case of Elisha HaNavi, that he showed so much appreciation, this superseded even his debt to his parents, in this respect. And so, he brought back this child to life. Why did the child die in the first place? Zayin HaKadosh said, because this child had a neshama, a soul, a male child and a female soul. Now, for those who know, of course, male is called chesed, female is called din. The same as Kaviyachal, the name of Hashem. You have the name of Hashem, chesed, Aleph Dalet, Shem Adna is din. Adna is the Shekhinah, which is the Kaviyachal, the queen of heaven, Hashem's queen, the female counterpart, and this is Din, harshness. So that it meant that Chavaku Kanavi, for some reason, had attained a neshama of Din, and Din, of course, could not have life without Chesed. This is one of the reasons why a woman gets married. For her husband to support her, the chesed must overpower the din. The husband is required to give of himself to his wife sustenance, which itself in itself is life. Because this child was given this soul originally, a female soul instead of a male soul, in order to be able to have life, the soul had to leave. So this child passed away. Elisha HaNavi then was Mispalel, he davened, and he brought this child back to life. He brought down a male soul to this child. This is why he was called Chavakuk. Chibuk means hugging. The fact that he was hugged twice, Chavakuk, twice being hugged, once by his mother, and once hugged by Elisha HaNavi, in which he infused into him this new soul, bringing back the life of the new soul that was one of chesed. Two, he was called Chavakuk because of that reason. Chavakuk is Bigmetria Gevura or Din. And therefore, it's to show his origin. Now, this ties in exactly, the Rizal says, with the fact, the Gemara says, that the first bracha in the Shemona Esrei, Mogen Avraham, Avraham stands for chesed. We said kindness. The second bracha standing for Yitzchak, who is Gevura or Din, that second bracha is where we find what bracha Mechaye HaMesim. The Tchias HaMesim is Gevurais. Therefore, he was called Chavaka Gevura because he underwent this process of Tchias HaMesim. And that is why Chavakuk HaNavi's message was, when he said, I will take the entire 613 mitzvahs, put it into one capsule, because surely, the first statement we had, said that Teda Tziva Lana Mesha, Mesha Rabbeinu taught us Teda Begimatria 611. He taught us 611 mitzvahs because two of them we heard from Hashem at Har Sinai. The first two of the Ten Commandments, Anochi and Lo Yelecha, believe in Hashem, do not worship idols. These two, one is positive, believe in Hashem, one negative, do not worship idols. The one positive one, corresponds to and encompasses all the 248 positive mitzvahs. The one negative, one of Hashem, covers all negative, 365 negative mitzvahs. That means that these two mitzvahs actually contain all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hashem briefly said all the mitzvahs of the Torah in these two words, these two commandments. And these two, the Gemara says, Torah Tziva Lana Moshe, these two mipi ha-gevura shemanam. We receive from Hashem mipi ha-gevura. We got it from gevura, because these two, which stand for one actually, the mitzvah of emunah and faith, faith in Hashem, that is gevura. And therefore Chavakuk, the symbol of gevura, said, I will take all the mitzvahs into one. Which is that? Mipi ha-gevura. Hashem's anechi nadichacha, first two commandments, because these first two are really one, both were said in one kaviyachol, in one sound, and that one sound is emunah. That's why he put it in these words, sadik b'emunasa yichya. Sadik b'emunasa what? Yichya. How did this halakhic have life come to him? Because of the emunah in the tzadik, in Elisha HaNavi. Life was given to him only because his mother went to the Navi, to the Tzaddik, with firm faith. She wasn't going there to relate the death of her son. She wasn't going to cry. She was going because she knew that she could get even Chiyas HaMesim from the Tzaddik Emes. Tzaddik Bemunasai, Yichya, through the Emunah of the Tzaddik Emes, Habakkuk said, I lived, brought life to me. It will bring life to anyone. Person who lives with Emunah will be zecher to life. What kind of life? The same life as a tzaddik. Will be zecher to eternal life. One who believes in a tzaddik emes truthfully, completely, implicitly, will have a life both in this world and eternally afterwards in the future world. This is the message of Chavakuk HaNavi, to tell us that if the generations are deteriorating, if we see a laxity in carrying out mitzvahs actively, if we see an increase in temptations and evils and corruption in the world, know that there is one mitzvah which is equivalent to all combined. At least hold on to that one, because that's the main test. In later generations, Zabenadol said, the final test will be to continue one's faith, not to allow one's faith to diminish, chas v'sholem. You'll see just before Mashiach's coming, there'll be a diminishing, a lessening, a weakening of faith among even the great people. I say to that person whose faith will remain strong and solid, he'll be considered as having obeyed every one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu issued four decrees, seemingly harsh decrees against the Jews. Moshe Rabbeinu was their leader, and in leaving the Jews, he gave them a warning. I will not be with you. It's incumbent upon you to remember the lessons that I taught you. You must carry out these lessons, and if you don't, there are penalties. But these lessons must be obeyed very strictly, so strictly that you cannot afford to fail. The Gemara tells us these four items were very harsh and very strict. We find them in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. One word, one sentence, he said, Yishkan Yisrael betach bodod ein yakov. The Jews will live when in security, securely, safely, ein yakov, if they will be all like Yaakov Avinu, all perfect tzaddikim. Then they will have peace and security. This means that he expected of the Jews to remain perfect, remain all tzaddikim, otherwise they are doomed, chas v'sholem. What is meant like Ein Yaakov, just like Yaakov Avinu, just like Yaakov Avinu was so strong and so powerful, he came to wrestling with the angel of evil, with all temptation, with the Yetzirah, so too must all Jews overpower this Yetzirah. And that would seem to put a damper on any future hopes for the Jews as a people. The Gemara says that a later Navi, Amos, a Navi came along and gave his cheskus, strengthening to the Jews. His statement in the Navi is Chadalno miyokum Yaakov kikotenu. Chadalno means stop. Do not expect such miracles from the Jews. Who can be like Yaakov Avinu? Kotenu, very small in number. Very few can be like Yaakov Avinu. You expect the Jews to be like that. You've asked the impossible. Therefore, this Navi said, be satisfied if the Jews will be Beinonim, the middle of the road. That means mediocre, medium, and as far as obeying the mitzvahs, even if there'll be very few tzaddikim, just the average, there'll be just an average, neither tzaddikim nor the shoim, there'll be enough for them to deserve security and peace. This was, of course, a very big relief to the Jews, because without this assurance, there'd be no chance, no hope for them, Chas Hashem. Second statement by Moshe Rabbeinu was, Magayim Hohem Leisargiya. When you go out in the Golos, will come a time the Jews will get to the base of Mikdash, and they will commit the crimes that will deserve having the base of Mikdash destroyed, to go out into exile. There will be no rest for the Jews at any time during the entire period of exile, Chas Hashanah. Imagine a punishment of that sort, to have no respite at all, constantly to be harassed throughout the entire ages, eons of the Golos. Yimei Navi came and said a statement, Halech Ha'agia Yisrael, which means go into Golos, but you will have rest even there too. Rest, my children, you won't be in your own home, your own land, but there will be times when you'll have peace. Of course, this means intermittently. There are times when Jews are driven from country to country. At least there will not be a constant pursuit, a constant harassment by the enemies, which gives them a time to collect themselves, to find themselves, and to resettle. Third statement was, Meshavenu Pekade Avain Oves Albonim. Hashem will settle the sins of the fathers upon the children. If the fathers committed sins, then the children will pay for these sins. And therefore, to this day, we are still paying for the sin of the golden calf and for the sin of the spies that reported, gave an evil report about Eretz Yisrael, plus the sin of the generation at which time the Holy Temple was destroyed. Cheskel Navi came and said, "Anefesh shechitas, hitomus." We change that. We will ease the burden of that statement by saying that henceforth, a person who commits sins, that person shall pay for his sin. That means death or any other kind of penalty, but he will not pay for the sin of the fathers. What is the logic behind that? Of course, the Gemara itself explains Moshe Rabbeinu's statement doesn't mean that the father commits a sin and the child pays for that sin. Explain that if the child continues in the evil path of the father, and he pays for his own sin plus the combined the dividends of his father too. Yecheskel Navi said even in that case, the child does not pay for the sins of the parents. And rightfully so, because he said, the Gemara says that Tamar Zechus Aves. We have lived through the Zechus of our forefathers, mitzvahs of our forefathers, which gave us their Zechus. It endowed us with a strength and with credit. We received reward for their actions. The time finally came when this Zechus ended. So we have to do our own mitzvahs now in order to have these zechus. If we can no longer draw upon these zechus of our fathers, then surely we no longer should be paying for their sins either. Because as we said, you cannot have the bad without the good. So if we dropped the chance to enjoy their zechuyos, then surely we're not required to pay for their evil deeds anymore. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Avadatem b'goyim." You'll be lost among the goyim. Lost means there was sort of a warning that there's sort of no hope. Shinavi came, Shinavi said that there will come a time, come a time when there'll be a shofar, will be blown, loud shofar, the shofar of becoming a Mashiach, and all those who are lost will return, go back to Eretz Yisrael. In other words, in this, we find in this case that even when the Torah, through Moshe Rabbeinu, makes statements that are very harsh and very frightening, the fact is that behind these statements there is really a deep ahava by Hashem. When Hashem punishes a Jew, even a Jew who has committed sins, it's not because Chas v'Shalom hates that Jew. A father does not hate a child who committed a wrong. The Hashem does it because of ahava for the Jew. And Gemara says that Hashem kaviyocho, Hashem strikes the Jew and says, it hurts me when I strike you, because a father feels the pain more than a child does. It hurts me, and therefore, the Zohar Kodesh says, and therefore Hashem says, I beg of you. Hashem says, I beg you, please do not commit sins, because you're hurting me by doing that. You're forcing me to punish you, and it hurts me. You. Therefore, Hashem Kaviyachu begs the Jew, here's the Torah, here's the mitzvahs, obey, please carry out the mitzvahs for your sake as well as for my sake. The Gemara says that a question was asked. Rav made a statement. Rav said, one of the rabbis, Gemara said, I very much fear a certain pasuk. Pasuk says, "Avadetem b'goyim." Says from Moshe Rabbeinu, which says, "You'll be lost among the nations." Now, perhaps this means that there's a question of who is greater. The second Navi, Shinavi, came and said, "You'll return." Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than Shinavi. Maybe his word will remain. His word is stronger, and the Jews will be lost. Chas v'Shalom. You know, answers. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, in saying that, said you'll be lost. What is meant by lost? It doesn't say to be wiped out. You'll be lost. If a person loses a precious item, what does he do? He goes out to seek this item until he finds it. Therefore, he said about this, King David said, Hashem, we are lost. We are your lost property. We pray to you, come and seek us. Seek us out, because we have really not forgotten your mitzvahs. We want to return to you, but we've lost the path. We've wandered away so far that we can hardly recognize the sound, like sheep cannot recognize the sound of the shepherd. But if you call us back, we'll recognize your voice and we'll come back to you. So therefore, when Leishmanah said you'll be lost, it meant like an article that's lost, but which will be sought and found by the owner. Hashem will bring us back, will find us and seek us out and bring us back. Second case, he said, I fear also, the pasuk which says, Achla eschem eretz avechem, you'll be eaten up by your enemies when you come to their land in Golas. Eaten up means there's no hope. Eaten up means you'll be consumed, Chas v'Shalom, completely. What will remain? My answer is, don't lose hope, because this means eaten up like, not like an article of food which has no rind or no shell. It's like a cucumber or a melon, where even if you eat it, there still is something that remains. There still remains part of it. The shell remains, the rind remains, there's no such thing as consuming it entirely. And even the pits remain, which can be replanted and to bring up a new flourishing vine or tree that can produce much more of these again. So therefore there is no losing hope, even with these statements that sound so hopeless. Because in truth Hashem has vowed that the Jews are an eternal people, they'll never be wiped out. Even if Hashem will send upon us all of his harsh decrees, Chas v'Shalom. Hashem says, I have many arrows in heaven. These are very potent arrows. And if you commit sins, I will shoot these arrows into you. Chas v'Shalom, heavenly arrows. And the more sins you commit, I'll shoot more arrows until I will use up all the arrows I have, every last arrow. The Gemara says that's a great blessing, because Hashem says, if I use up all my arrows, they will come to an end. But you will never come to an end. The Jews will remain eternal. Relating to this, the Gemara tells us a story, a little story in this Gemara Makos, story of Rabbi Gamliel, who was the chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin, Elazar ben Azariah, who became the chief rabbi too at the age of 18 for a period of time, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, who is called the Hakim of the Yudoy, the wisest of all the rabbis of the Gemara, and Rabbi Akiva. These four leading sages were once walking along a road. And of course, this took place shortly after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. When the Roman hordes came, destroyed the Holy Temple, razed, sacked the city of Yerushalayim, and killed an untold number of Jews. It is possible that it ran to the hundreds of millions, or possibly even billions. This is something that the Gemara says, well, we can't understand such large numbers, yet in those days the population was that great, and the destruction was so vast that so many millions did die. This was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. These four Tzanoim were walking along the road, and they heard, from a very far distance of 120 miles, they heard the roar of the Roman army. But here at that distance, imagine how large the Roman legions were. How vast they were, that they roar, the sound of this army could be heard from so far away. When they heard this, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, these three began to cry. Rabbi Akiva smiled and laughed. They said to Rabbi Akiva, why do you laugh at a time like this? And we see the glory of the Roman Empire and the shame, the belittling of what is the remnants of the Jews. So he said to them, why are you crying? They said, these evil goyim who bow to statues, offer sacrifices to idols, they are living in security, in happiness, in peace, and we, the children of Hashem, see the ashes of the Beis HaMikdash, the home of Hashem, burned to the ground. We should not cry. The Kiva replied, that's exactly why I am happy. Because since we see from this, that surely these Roman legions, these are the most evil people in the world, who dare to take the house of home of Hashem, Kaviyocho, and destroy it, take the people of Hashem and to kill them, to spill so much blood, and yet despite this Hashem blesses them with peace, with happiness, tranquility. If they, these evil ones, have such a good life, imagine then what a good life is in store for those who obey the mitzvahs of Hashem, who fulfill His commands, who live as loyal Jews. And why am I laughing? I'm happy because think of the good that awaits us. This is only temporary. We have a temporary time of suffering. Imagine the eternal happiness that we will enjoy eventually. This, of course, consoled them to a degree. Now, their claim was, they said, they spoke about the Beis HaMikdash, because they said that according to the Gemara, Hashem was very kind to the Jews. Hashem poured out His anger. What did He pour it out on? Instead of pouring out on His people, the Jews, to consume, to destroy them completely, He let all His anger, He gave into His anger to the Beis HaMikdash, which consists of stones, wood. This was destroyed by the anger of Hashem. How fortunate we are. So they said, if that's the case, then one of the two, we should have been spared. Look at all the casualties we did, that we suffered in this destruction. And if we did suffer so much dead, why can't we have the consolation of at least seeing that Hashem's home did not suffer? But to have both, this is what we cry about. And this was his answer, that since we see that ones that were so evil, having done so much harm, so much damage, can still roam the earth in such happiness, imagine then what is in store for us. This was the first exchange of words. The Gemara says the second time, we're going up to Yerushalayim. Of course, they were primarily at the yeshivas at that time were located in the area of Tiberias, Tveria, Tzfas, Tzipori, Bnei Brak, the city of Rabbi Kiva. One time they were going up to Yerushalayim, and they reached Yerushalayim, they came to Har HaTzofim, Mount Scopus, where they could see the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Looking down at this area, they tore their clothes. When they reached the close to the area, to the Beis HaMikdash itself, Mokom HaMikdash, they saw a fox coming out of the ruins right at the spot where the Holy of Holies was. And they burst out a bit of tears, burst out crying. Akiva began to smile and laugh happily. They said to him again, Akiva, why do you laugh at a time like this? He said, tell me, why are you crying? What is there to cry about? So they asked him, what is there to cry about? This spot where this fox came from is a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says that any stranger, which means the biggest tzaddik in the world, who is not the Kohen Gadol, anyone but the Kohen Gadol, who comes close to that spot, who walks into that room, shall receive a death penalty. So sacred, Kodesh Kodeshim, Holy of Holies it is. And now, imagine that spot, the lowest of animals, roams freely in that room, that place. And we shouldn't cry when we see a sight like that. The Akiva replied, that's exactly why I am happy. Because there is a pasuk, Hashem Navi, who says, Hashem states, I have appointed two trusty witnesses to testify. These two witnesses are Uriah and Zechariah. The question is, two witnesses who testify always have to testify together. They both come together at the same time, they testify the same thing. How is it possible for these two to testify if Uriah lived in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash and Zechariah HaNavi lived in the time of the second Mikdash? How can you put these two witnesses together? Especially these two, Zechariah HaNavi, if you recall, was the Navi who was killed by the Jews, and the king sent his general to avenge his death, and the general wiped out many tens of thousands of leaders of Yerushalayim. These two, the Nevi'im, were both appointed by Hashem to testify, to make a certain testimony. The Akiva asked, how can these two join together if they live in different eras? So he said, what is their testimony? Testimony is, Uriah said, that I warn you that the city of Yerushalayim shall be plowed up like a field. Be nothing left to it. Be razed to the ground. And even the holy temple too will be destroyed completely. Be turned into a forest. This is what Uriah stated. Zechariah stated, come a time when the elders will go back to Yerushalayim. The elders and the youth, they will sit in the city of Yerushalayim in peace and contentment to live there happily ever after. Now, what is the connection between these two? Obviously, these two are speaking about the same item. These two are witnesses to testify to the destruction and to the ultimate recovery, return, the Geula, redemption. The Akiva said, Now, I was worried when, as long as the Nevuah of Uriah was not fulfilled, and I was worried perhaps there will never be the fulfillment of the Nevuah Zechariah. When will we ever have happiness forever after if we don't first have the Nevuah of Uriah becoming true? The destruction will take place. Now that I see one of these has taken place, has been fulfilled, one half of the testimony, I'm certain now that the second half will come true too. It will be fulfilled also. But eventually, the fulfillment of the Gula will take place completely to complement this pair of witnesses who testify. This has made me certain. The other rabbi said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, you have truly consoled us, because your words bring fresh hope to us. It's true that we cried when we saw the Chulban Beis HaMikdash, true that this brought tears to us, rent our hearts, but when you say to us that this is only temporary, and of course we have to realize the ultimate. It's temporary because Hashem has punished the Jews temporarily, and the Goyim Lahavdil will live in happiness. But this will all change eventually when the Goyim will have their downfall and the Jews will realize the ultimate Gula, which will then last forever. This is the words they said to Rabbi Akiva. Zayde Kodesh says, and this of course throughout the ages, we find that the words of Rabbi Akiva are consolation for Jews at all times. A Jew is supposed to know that the vow, the promise of Hashem, is one that will be fulfilled. It is, in fact, one of the major items of faith. A Jew who fails to believe implicitly in the coming of Mashiach, that person is considered a kofer, an atheist. A Jew who does not believe in Mashiach, the Gemara says, will not live to see Mashiach. So one of the basic pillars of faith is that Mashiach will come, it will be the Gula. The fact that we have seen more than just the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we've seen the destruction of entire portions of the Jewish people in different generations. We've seen whole countries go under, even in our time, aside from all the other times in past history. But each country there rises up a new tyrant against the Jews with pogroms, with the intention of wiping them out, Chas HaShalom. Or even as close as our time, we've seen one that possibly was the worst of all time. These are only signs, again, that we are getting closer and closer to Mashiach. And these, of course, are tests. They're the test of our faith, that when it seems the darkest moment has arrived, there seems no longer any hope, that, for instance, now, when it's not just one single country that's opposed to the Jews, but when there is a united effort by all the countries on earth, every one of them has joined in, even those who allegedly were friendly to the Jews, they've all become united with one single cause and one single goal, and that is to destroy Chas HaShalom, the Am Hashem. That is the sign that finally the time has come for the shepherd to rescue his flock. And Hashem will take up our part now. Hashem himself, Yom Neraglav HaHazesim, Hashem himself, Kaviyachol, will take up the battle. Hashem Ishmuchoma, just Hashem battled against the Egyptians in the time when the Jews were slaves there temporarily, this time Hashem will send Mashiach to take up the battle with Hashem as a deciding factor in this battle. And this will take place depending upon the Emunah of the Jew. If a Jew will have a solid Emunah, this will bring Mashiach that much closer. And this is why the Gemara brings this story in connection with the former statement. Mitzadik Gamanosa Yichya. Tzadik refers to the Jews as a nation. The Amech Kulam Tzadikim. The entire nation of Jews are called Tzadik. The Yichya, the life of the Jew, the eternal life in Gan Eden, as well as the eternal life on earth, meaning the ultimate future life, the Jews and Eretz Yisrael with the Gula, depends upon Be'emunosai, because it is through Emunah that the Jews will be redeemed. This is the final message, the Siyum of the Gemara Makkos. We should be zechet to see the words of these Tanaim come true. They said, Akiva Nechamtanu, Hashem Yenachamenu Amen. Hashem should console us, Hashem should send to us Mashiach Tekenu, Hashem himself will finally rebuild the third and final Beis HaMikdash, which will then last forever. You see this with our eyes now. Amen. Amen.